Let us come before God with prayer. Eternal God, in the reading of Scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown to the world. Amen. Psalm 137 is frequently sung both in churches and in mainstream music. Many of us can remember back to the disco hit by Boney M. in the late 1970s. Are we going to hear that tonight? Okay. You know that one that goes, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." Have you ever thought, like, why were they weeping? This song was first sung in Jerusalem when the faith of the nation had been shaken to its core. God had given Israel three things: a land, God's law, and a covenant to live with God in relationship. But they defiled the law. They defiled the land. And time and again, they denied God. For 30 years, Jeremiah the prophet was a solitary voice, warning the people that they were wandering away from God, and he called them to repent, to change their ways. But the people of Israel didn't listen. So consequently, they were defeated by the Babylonians, who wiped out Jerusalem, raped and pillaged, and took prisoners to live in exile. God's chosen people were brought to their knees, shattered and shocked, in total disbelief. And the first response to this loss is the reading we heard in the book of Lamentations, a very sad, broken-hearted poem believed to have been written by Jeremiah. We all know that grief is something we live with, and Queen Elizabeth suggested that grief is the price we pay for love. And it's important that even though Jeremiah was constantly criticizing the people of Israel, at this point, when everything's gone awry, Jeremiah didn't gloat, but he had profound grief. The grief was just overwhelming for him over the fate of his people. Now, our second reading this morning, Psalm 137, is a song that comes a little later. Zion is another name for Jerusalem, and the name Jerusalem actually means city of peace. Translated in Hebrew, Babylon, in comparison, means confusion. So if you translate what the psalm is saying, it actually says, "By the rivers of confusion, there we sat down, there we wept when we remembered the city of peace." And the part of the song we read moves beyond sadness and weeping into a song of defiance. The Babylonians taunted the people of Israel, demanding that they sing their songs to Zion as a form of mockery and entertainment. And eventually the singers respond, "We can't and we won't sing the Lord's song in this place." Now, in case you doubt the power of music, on July 22nd in 2010, the Jerusalem Post newspaper reported in Ramallah that when the group Boney M. was on tour, Palestinian concert organizers asked the lead singer not to sing the Rivers of Babylon. Why? Because 2,500 years later, the Palestinians knew that this psalm still had the strength and potential to stir the Jewish people's yearning for the land of Israel. Now, fast forward 2,000 years. This week, I spent some time reading back over the minutes of the North Burlington Churches Uniting, and our founding board makes for interesting reading. Whenever people were asked how they felt about pursuing a new dream, I read words like hope and dream and faithfulness, energy, vibrance, opportunity. But I also read fear, concern, loss, fear of conflict, apprehension, drained, disheartened, confusion, and sadness. When I started leading worship here, I spoke of feeling like we were suspended between two trapeze swings. But we didn't talk about the emotions that normally go with that swing. We often say people don't like change, but really it's the loss that we associate with those changes. People who manage change and transition define change as an event. So change is something that happens. But transition is actually the emotional process that follows the change. There we go. So there are actually three phases of transition. And this is a graph that the transition team is going to be so tired of seeing by the time I leave. All transitions start with an ending, a letting go. And if we were looking at the trapeze, that would be that swing that we just let go of. That was the ending brought about by change. And then the time that's called the neutral zone is where many of us are, that place where we're hanging in the middle. We've let go of the last swing, but we haven't grabbed the next one. And then the new beginning is where we've actually started to grab at that new swing and started swinging into a new future. Now, I love this quote. Just for record, for the record, darling, not all positive change feels positive in the beginning. Okay? Even if it's a positive change, it still doesn't feel positive. Even if it's a positive change, there's still loss and there's still grief. Many of you in this crowd have been married, right? A few of you? A couple? There, yeah. Marriage is something that people dream about. They look forward to. And yet, it's a big change. Yes, you gain a partner, but you also lose some independence and freedom. There's grief, even though there's joy. I know I took a little while to live into this whole marriage thing, remembering that, oh yeah, I have to phone somebody else when I want to go and do something else, just to be considerate and share. The same with becoming a parent. We have a young couple in our midst who are getting ready for their first baby, and I've heard time and again people turn to them and say, ha ha ha, get ready for those sleepless nights. So think about it. Babies and children are something that we long for. It's part of our evolution as a couple, usually. And there's still loss. You have to trade in your sports car for a minivan. You trade in your knapsack for a diaper bag. There are lots of positive experiences to be gained, but there's also some grief for what was lost. There are lots of emotions that typically accompany the transition process. So as we move through the next 2 years, we're going to go traveling through most of them. If you see on the top, there's the positive emotions, excitement, anticipation. Those are the things that we heard people saying even before the amalgamation started. But there's also on the other side, confusion and reservation. Now, it looks really awful that we're in the transition zone. That's actually when our mood gets the worst, or the most negative, maybe. I wanted to share with you a quote I read this week about Winston Churchill said, "When you think you're in hell, keep moving." So in other words, when you get to the bottom of that low, keep moving. There's hope. It can only get better. I want to affirm that all three founding churches have gone through some form of loss, some form of ending, being required to enter the amalgamation. Nelson and St. Stephen folks have lost their buildings and parts of their former church families and their former ministers. But Tansley also has had losses. They've lost their minister, but there are also some very subtle changes, or not so subtle. Some Tansley folks report that their church just doesn't feel like it used to. It doesn't look the same. And this can be jolting for some people and can even evoke a very real grief response as well. You have to have empathy with this guy. His life is just one grief after another. I want to affirm for you that the myriad of emotions that each one of us is going through is normal, and it's to be expected. And one of the issues as you get older and older in life is that you're not just grieving or going through the change that's happening at church. Yeah, we've got that one going, but most people, as they're aging, they're also having to deal with losing a license, maybe moving out of their home, maybe dealing with kids having divorces, maybe having our bodies not working like they used to. I know that's one of my favorites. You know, can't run as hard as I used to. We have all these losses that are going on, and now the one thing that was supposed to stay stagnant, our church, now it's changing too. Jeepers. So through this time, we need to be gentle with ourselves and with each other. I want you to maybe think about being like Linus instead of Lucy. Think about Lucy. You know, 5 reasons to follow me. Linus has a softer approach. So make like Linus. As we've heard this morning, the grief associated with transition is part of our faith tradition. The people of Israel went through it. The first disciples went through it. The early church went through it. Nothing is more natural than grief. No emotion more common to our daily experience. It's an innate response to loss in a world where everything is impermanent. You ever heard that wisdom that the only thing that stays constant in life is change? That means that grief is universal. None of us want it, and all of us have to deal with it. Every time God has called us to do something new, people of faith have entered into times of transition, and this community has committed to giving birth to a new entity, one with a new shared vision and profile, and a new way of being. I've often sort of said to the transition team, it's like we're kind of giving birth to a new baby. And you'll notice it just says baby sister. We don't have a name for it yet, so that's important to remember. We're still in process. This baby hasn't got a name. As new parents living out a dream, we'll experience the same doubts and fears associated with all big transitions. And I'm going to argue that the grief that we experience as we push forward can be good grief. Yes, there will be loss, but the experience will define us and propel us forward. The grief that comes with the promise of renewal, opportunities to redefine ourselves, and the shape into something new. The good news is that God will be with us through every change and every transition. It's fitting then that on this Worldwide Communion Sunday, we celebrate the value of shared visions and values by sharing a meal with our brothers and sisters of faith all around the world. A meal that remembers the last week of Jesus' life, where he too experienced the full spectrum of our human emotions. A meal where we focus on the brokenness, but that brokenness is transformed through the love of God into the promise of new life. It's a meal that offers a foretaste of a banquet and fullness in the life of God, one that God is calling us towards and is still yet to come. So may we be people of faith who can wait with hope that in the future we will taste and see that God is good. Amen.